Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the 20th episode in the Co-Pilot series, where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle more doable, especially while facing the common challenges and roadblocks we all face on our journey to better health and weight loss. I'm really excited for today's guest. I've been looking forward to it all week, and I'm so thankful that she's coming on because it was something that was requested by all of our members. All of our members were saying, I want to hear from a newbie. I want a newbie on the podcast, someone who's really early on, who's just starting out. And it's been wonderful that all of the past co-pilots have been people who have these really big, epic success stories and have been doing it for a long time. But there's also something to be said to remember what it was like in the beginning. And I know a lot of you are just starting, and so you'll really be able to sort of relate to the newness of it and how it can be overwhelming, but also inspiring and motivating. And I think the longer that we are healthier on the plant-based journey, it becomes sort of like autopilot and second nature, which is wonderful. But we also forget what it felt like in the beginning. We forget the struggles and we forget what it was like to be overwhelmed, and we also lose sight of all of the work we've done. So if you're a little pro, this is going to be a beautiful reminder of all the work you did. And for everyone else, you can see that others have made this journey and you're not alone, and it's everyone's got to start somewhere. So with that, please welcome Mandy. Hi, Mandy.
Hi.
Thanks again so much for being on tonight. I know we're going to have so much fun because we've already been emailing and we have a lot of things to talk about. So one of the things that you and I have in common, and I know a lot of members, a lot of people that are listening struggle with this, is emotional eating. And you've told me that, you know, you've eaten to soothe, to celebrate, to entertain, and to sabotage yourself. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. I just remember always, well, still, I guess, but you know, there's a celebration, you eat, you have a big feast, or I feel depressed and I'm going to eat to make myself feel better and go get a tub of ice cream. I've even sabotaged myself trying to get healthy and slipped and said, you know what, forget it. I already slipped. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. And that's how ultimately I really failed. But.
And I think those aw, screw it moments are really common, and a lot of people don't want to talk about them, so I appreciate your honesty, but I know that's been me, is where it's this amazing thing where even if, you know, I was doing so wonderful all week or for several days, like I really had my act together, and then I, you know, fuddled a little or I slipped, somehow like that little tiny oopsie makes me forget all the progress I made, and I'm like, screw it. And I go like, you know, bonkers, you know, like none of all the good progress mattered. And it's like, I couldn't just stumble a little and start walking again. I just like fell over and laid down.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, one of the things like I always am telling myself is there's no happiness in the bottom of a pint of Ben and Jerry's. And I also know that not only will there be no happiness at the bottom of that thing, but then I'm going to beat myself up for 5 days.
Right, right, totally. Your problems are still there.
Yeah, it's like, it just, I want to eat my emotions, but it doesn't work.
Right, yeah, you still have to deal with them. And it's better if you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's so much personal growth with choosing not to eat.
Oh, that's such a brilliant point. I'm really glad you said that. It's true. Every time that you sort of persevere, I feel like you get stronger as a person and you really kind of grow. And I also think it helps you start to identify things that maybe compelled you to emotionally eat.
Right. Yeah.
But it is interesting that, in, especially in like sort of the North American culture, is that it is everything good, bad, or indifferent, it's all about food. Like everything is so food centered. And that's one thing a lot of people struggle with when they want to change their diet, is because there are all these traditions and celebrations and you kind of have to change them and approach them a little bit differently. Even if it's not from a health perspective, it's just, oh, I'm not trying to eat, you know, meat anymore or dairy.
Right. Totally. And with my kids, we struggle because my boyfriend, he doesn't want them to lose out on the celebration of birthday parties and stuff. I'm like, I don't want them to eat those junky pizzas and those junky cakes. Like, I'll bring them something else to eat. I don't care. But he doesn't want them to feel weird or different and doesn't want them to miss out on their childhood. Or at least I should say he used to feel that way. His thinking is kind of shifting now, so I'm grateful for that. But
yeah, it's interesting you say that because I hear that all the time, and it's the adults. It's not the kids saying that they feel like they're missing out. It's the parents or the grandparents saying, well, I don't want the child to miss out. And I've always found that to be very fascinating. And this one mom I was talking to, she said to me, and it was so brilliant, and she goes, I've been trying to teach my daughter that you can miss out on a play date and you can miss out on a movie or you can miss out on being, you know, with your friend and having fun, but I don't ever want her to think that she's missing out on, like, food.
Yeah, and it's so crazy we have those ideas. I often have gotten upset because I couldn't eat what everyone else was eating, especially in the very beginning, like, just really, like, depressed. Like, I have to, like, make this whole other weird thing. and I'm going to be eating it all by myself and all that. And it was felt like such a big deal, but thankfully it's not anymore. But
and it does. It definitely feels like a big deal. And I can remember early on that I would feel that way. I would go to parties and there would be like only pretzels and I would feel so mad and defeated. And now I don't care. You know, I'm totally comfortable not eating at all. But it, like you said, it's definitely something that early on you're just like, ugh, and you get frustrated. And but it's funny that once you get comfortable, it seems like everyone else gets uncomfortable and frustrated because I'll go to these parties and everyone else is so worried that I have like nothing to eat or I have very limited options. I'm like, I really am cool. Like I came to the wedding to watch my friend get married. I really didn't come for the rubbery chicken.
Right. Totally.
But when you're so fresh off, you know, the boat, so to speak, you're like, oh, I'm different. Oh, everyone's looking at me.
Yeah, and the first time that I really fell off the wagon, I had been, like, perfect when I first started, totally perfect for, like, 6 months, and it was so hard. It was stressful. It was such a big deal, and we were going camping with my boyfriend's parents, and I had to make all my own food, and I made food for him, too, but he ended up eating whatever they were eating there, so we were kind of doing it together, but then we got there, and he fell off.
Right.
And I was left eating all this food by myself and preparing all my own meals separate from everybody else for the whole trip. And it was really hard. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard. I used to want to make everything, like, nothing tasted as good as it does now. In the beginning, it doesn't taste that great. And so I was really struggling. But now it's much easier and I make way simpler stuff because I'm not wanting some, you know, I don't need something so perfect or not trying to make it taste like something I used to eat or anything like that.
Right. I think that's important. And this was one thing that my parents really turned me on to. When I first transitioned to a vegan and plant-based diet, there wasn't a whole lot of like meat substitutes and dairy substitutes. Now, I mean, there's just so many, but there really wasn't any when I did it. And so I never really had the option. So I was just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to make beans and rice kind of things. With my father, he was a big meat guy. And when he went plant-based 3 years ago, there was all these like meat substitutes on the market. And he was just like, don't even bring them in the house because I know it's not going to be the same and it's just going to be worse. So I just prefer to I'm not going to ever have that again. And I thought that was really weird. But then I realized that actually was probably very smart of him.
Super smart and way healthier.
Yeah, and of course those things were junky anyway, and I thought it would make it easier for him, like a crutch, but he was like, no, and he's now since had some, he's like, they're okay, and he's like, but I'm really glad that I had them 3 years later and not, you know, day two.
Yeah, it is smart. If you can do that, that's really smart, because I think you'll end up, a lot of people end up just addicted to that stuff instead.
Absolutely, yeah, and then it becomes, instead of eating the chicken, they're just eating the fake chicken.
Right.
Which isn't any healthier because it's super processed and it's going to make your tummy hurt. And but now, like, the place where my parents and I are at is, like, we'll have a vegan hot dog at a baseball game. We only do, like, once or twice a year, and it's kind of more like a novelty than before when we were omnivores and we ate hot dogs, like, all the time. We just didn't switch the hot dogs. We just found new things to eat that were more healthy and wholesome.
Right.
And it's also, I think, shifting. My husband loves to tell people, stop looking for meat on your plate. Like, you know, start reprogramming your brain that sides are actually a whole meal. They're not just like this little garnish on the side. And I think when you rely on the fake meats right off the bat, you aren't really going through that mental transition of thought.
Right. It is so weird to start and eating whole foods, plant-based, and have, you know, just these huge portions of grains and starches and vegetables. And it is definitely a transition.
Yeah, your plate just looks different, but then you start to really appreciate that you're getting all these beautiful colors and all these different sort of abundance and textures, and your life isn't as beige.
Yeah, and so much more food.
Yes, that's one of the things I always really liked is, and I know you did Weight Watchers for a while, and any kind of person who's done any dieting in the past knows that basically you just have like the tiniest little amount of food and you're just hungry all the time. And I felt like when I was plant-based, I could eat more and it was less calories.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always like, even with the low fat substitutions on the meal plans, I'm like, babe, I can eat like a half a potato, a carrot, and, you know, a half a cup of corn or a quarter of an avocado.
Right. It really puts it in perspective real fast.
Yeah. Which is still hard because I'm like totally an avocado-aholic.
Well, the avocado, I love to say, is like nature's butter. And so it's about the same. And you have to think of it that way. Like, well, when you were using butter, you only were supposed to use a little tiny pot. And it's the same thing with avocado.
Yeah, totally.
So obviously avocado is still the better choice over butter.
Right. Well, like when I first started, the hardest things were cheese and dairy for me. Or meat with cheese on it. But now that's changed. Now it's like, okay, I've got to stay away from the avocados, and that's really hard now, but it's not the cheese anymore. I finally really let go of some of my attachment to cheese. It's finally dwindling away. But it took a long time.
Yeah, cheese is one of those things. I guess I was very fortunate to be, one, lactose intolerant, and two, I never really cared for it to begin with. And I think it's because when I was a real small child, I choked really bad on like some like cheesy pizza, and I think it just scared me away, and then I couldn't eat it, whatever. But my husband was like cheese all day, you know, he loved it, he was a complete fanatic. And some people really are cheese fanatics, and and of course we all know that cheese is physically addicting. It is just like any other drug, you're gonna be addicted to it. And so it makes sense why people struggle so hard. And it's interesting because I notice in the forums and in the Facebook group, when people do slip up or when they do cheat, it's always with cheese or maybe ice cream, but mostly cheese. And I think it's, like you said, it's just one of those things that's super hard for people.
Yeah, crazy addicting.
What was it you think that made you finally okay? Like, do you think it was just an amount of time, or you like got your mind around it?
I think it was probably just time. I did use vegan cheese, and up until very recently, I think before I got, like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago now, I was like, okay, I'm getting back on the wagon, like, perfect, because I was just doing the vegan thing and eating drunk, mm-hmm. and I was eating, like, really delicious vegan cheeses to substitute, but still, and I'm like, oh, I can go without those. I think it's not totally like I don't want them at all anymore, but it's better. And yeah, I'd say probably just time.
Yeah, time does seem to get better.
You substitutes though for a long time.
One of the things that you said when we were emailing each other that I really just loved was you said, I think it's so important we find a way to love ourselves the way we are while trying to make ourselves better. And it was so beautiful. I actually like ended up printing it up and putting it on my desk. And can you tell me sort of where that comes from?
I just struggled for years trying to love myself because of my body. I've always thought actually I was a pretty wonderful and cool person, but my body always brought me down and made me feel like I didn't fit in and didn't get to do stuff, and I've always wanted for years and years now to just be okay with how I look and be okay with that. but still wanting to better myself to, you know, be healthy and strong and fit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, really. It's a journey that I'm on. I wouldn't say that I've accomplished it yet, but I work towards it all the time.
And one thing that I found really powerful in your story was that you have unfortunately lost both of your parents already, and they died very, very young. Has that been a motivator for you, both in terms of trying to make the better choices and adopting a plant-based diet?
I don't think so. My dad was gone when I was 12. My mom always pushed me to lose weight and stuff. I think maybe even before she should have been worried about it. And my desire to like be I've always kind of had that desire to lose weight my whole life because of her getting me started in it early on. And I've always wanted to do it healthfully. You know, I thought that the Weight Watchers way was healthy, and I guess it would be if you could do it whole foods, plant-based.
Right.
But no, what drives it really is wanting to lose the weight. And I'm always trying to shift it to, you gotta be healthy. You have to want to do it to be healthy. Because it's kind of a dangerous cycle to be trying to get healthy to lose weight.
That's true. That's true. And one thing that I thought was interesting that you said just now was that your mom kind of pushed you. And that's something I hear all the time with female members. And I remember this from my own childhood. It wasn't that my mom was like trying to get me to diet or anything. I mean, I've heard stories about mothers sending their daughters to like fat camp and weighing them every day. But my mom and her friends were always dieting, and they were always talking about their weight or how they didn't like how they looked or their butt was big or they didn't like these pants or they looked fat in this and blah, blah, blah. And I never, ever really heard positive self-love. I never heard women say, like, occasionally I would hear them compliment each other, oh, you look really nice today. And my mother, to her credit, always told me I was pretty or beautiful or I looked nice, and so did my dad. But I never heard them talking about themselves that way. Like, oh, I just feel so good about myself. Or so one thing that I've always tried to do around younger women is to show like a pride in myself, or just to sort of foster this environment where I didn't think that they felt like they had to like diet or aspire, you know, just telling them that they're perfect the way they are. And so I found it really interesting that you kind of got that from your mom too. And I wonder if there's like more women out there who their mothers maybe aren't happy with their bodies, and so they're then projecting it onto their daughters, or even just in my case where they're not projecting it on their daughters necessarily, but their unhappiness with their own relationship with their self and their body is just kind of influencing.
Oh, I'm sure there's tons of us. And then the sad part is, it's ingrained in us, and we do it to our kids too. You know, we let our son watch Fork Over Knife with us. And then when we first went plant-based, for me, I was weighing myself a lot, and I was, you know, getting excited about the weight loss and stuff and shared it with the kids. And all of a sudden my son was like, well, how much do I weigh? Am I fat? And all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I would never call myself fat in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was totally catching on to that stuff, and not even, I, you know, was totally wanting to shield him from those things, both of them. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I am starting to see it with boys too. I was visiting a friend recently that has sons that are 13 and 16, and I definitely noticed that they were very self-conscious, and they were worried about whether or not they were fat. And it's such a different, I don't remember that when I was their age, or if the guys at my age group at that time, they certainly never said it in front of me, but it was something that it just really stuck out to me that it was, on one hand, I was happy that they seemed to be so mindful and curious about health and nutrition and wanting to do the right thing for themselves. But at the other time, it's like, wow, are we all this paranoid now? Are we all self-doubting ourselves and not loving ourselves or not having the confidence? And is it internal? Is it the media? Well, you know, it's a very interesting thing. And one thing I've noticed is I had to stop reading magazines like Self or Shape because it for whatever reason, I think the magazine was meaning to empower me, but it just made me like feel worse about myself.
What was it about the magazines that made you feel worse about yourself?
Like, I always felt like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm supposed to be doing this, and this, and then this, and I'm not doing any of these things, and oh my God, I'm terrible. Like, it was like, whatever I was doing wasn't enough. I should be doing more.
Right.
And I don't think that they mean that at all. I'm sure it's all in my own head, but that's how I kept feeling every time I would read them.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much misinformation in them too.
Oh yeah, that too. Which is frustrating.
Yeah.
On one page it was like, oh, you should do this exercise. And on this page, this exercise. I'm like, I can never do all these exercises. I am crap.
And eat this and eat that and don't eat this.
Right. And then the next issue would be completely opposite. Like the one issue you're eating kale, the next issue, never mind. You can't have kale, you're eating spinach. And I'm like, wait, I just got used to the kale.
I've noticed that in my boyfriend's men's health magazines and stuff too a lot. And he's like, yeah, it's different every time.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because like I see them, you know, in the checkout counter and even the men's ones, I'm like, are they doing this? Okay.
He has found some stuff in those magazines though, talking about eating plant-based or at least closer to. So that's good.
There has been a lot more of that lately, and a lot of the fitness-oriented ones, like Runner's World, had a vegan on the cover. And so I do think that we're, at least in this respect, that it's getting out there that you don't necessarily have to have meat to be manly or build muscles. And I remember a men's fitness article, I guess maybe 2 years ago now, where it said, like, the secret best protein powerhouse ever. It was quinoa. And I was like, oh, yeah. But yeah, it's a curious thing. And that's still, I think, a myth we're still dealing with, the protein one. It's amazing to me how much it persists, but, I guess good marketing made it happen.
Yeah.
So one thing, you had said that you watched Forks Over Knives and you let your son watch Forks Over Knives, and that movie, it's a great movie because it's so informative and it's not, you know, scary. Like, it's a lot of the documentaries have like really scary, like animal slaughtering things that can be really hard for kids. But Forks Over Knives also feels very sophisticated. Like, was he able to really comprehend what was happening, or?
Yes and no. I told him, you know, anytime you have a question, we'll pause it and I'll answer your question. And so, like, we were literally stopping it probably like every few minutes, and I'd have to explain things and. Not everything he could get, but he got the gist of it. And he's like, well, why are doctors telling us different? And why am I learning different in school? And
yeah.
But mostly, too, a big piece of it was he got scared, you know, seeing all the charts and stuff like that. So that wasn't so good because it, I feel like made him, you know, overly worried, but he got over it in not that long.
Yeah.
He's definitely not plant-based, though I try. So I'm glad it didn't scare him too much, but he was able to get the gist of it. They tease me now and stuff about being plant-based and how they're not going to be. They tell me, oh, I'll be plant-based when I grow up.
And that, I imagine, might be, well, one, it's always harder to be different amongst everyone, as we've talked about a lot already, but is there, like, I feel so much grief in my own way when I can't get friends or family on board with a plant-based diet that I want them to do because they have health problems that I know can be, you know, reversed or benefited by switching their diet. Do you experience that too?
Oh, yeah. My mom is... my second mom that I call mom, is battling cancer right now.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, doing chemo and all that stuff. And she's worried about becoming diabetic. She's like teaching her daughters on being pre-diabetic and stuff. And she's so afraid of carbs, and I'm like, you can eat potatoes, it's okay. But I don't push it on her, because I don't think she would hear it, and I don't want to turn her off from it totally.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's so many cases like that. You just want everyone to do it. My boyfriend's parents too. They got on board with us in the beginning, and now they're not. But they were like gung ho, and they watched Forks Over Knives, and they were all excited, and then fell off the wagon, and they were like, oh, you know,
they had their "oh, screw it" moment.
Yeah, they had their "oh, screw it" moment.
Sometimes I think that's harder, because that's happened with me with friends and family members, where they get on board and then they fall off, and I'm like, I think it's worse than if you just never did it. It's like so much more frustrating, because you know they knew how good they felt, and they just are like, but I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, I'm going to die anyway.
Yeah, that's what I hear all the time, and I'm just like, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could have much more quality of life if you eat this way, but people don't want to give up their food.
Yes, I know. And that's what people always tell me. You have to dive something. And I just am like, I watched my grandmother waste away painfully from cancer. If I can avoid that, I will. I will pick some other poison. That is not what I want for myself. Or any of the – and I have a relative who famously lays out all of his medications in the morning – for the day, and there's like 18 of them, and I'm just like, I could help you get off most of those. No interest.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody at a party recently, and he's like, oh, my daughter's trying to get me to go vegan and all this stuff. I'm not, you know, I don't want to do that and all this stuff. And then later he's talking about how he's got to have some sort of surgery on his heart.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, wouldn't changing your diet be easier than
that? Yeah, right. And less expensive, less painful, and faster.
And he's like, oh, not you too. I mean, he had it. I'm like, yeah, me too. Sorry.
My bad. I think that's a big thing, that when you do go plant-based, what, you know, one, no one ever wants to be alone, so like, I gotta get a buddy. But I think also the real big thing is you feel so good and you love it so much, and you feel like you've stumbled on this great big secret, and you just want to shout it and tell everyone. You just want to be like, oh my god, I found this out, it's amazing.
Right.
And so it comes from a really good place, but a lot of times I think, like you said, you could scare people off, and so you have to sort of like rake it back in, but you always want to tell everyone, because you're like, oh my god, this is so great, you have to do this, but you have to hope that the person wants to hear you.
Yeah, and I'm not good at that. And I'm not good either getting, like when people are like, oh, well, where do you get your protein, or, you know, something like that. Like my good friend the other day said, well, What about fat? Your brain needs fat and all this stuff. And I was like, well, there's fat in everything, you know, but I think my tone comes off wrong or something every time because of how much I've heard about people getting negative reactions.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm just like on defense immediately. Yeah. I calm down. And they're like, geez, I was just asking a question. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, and I think that definitely happens. Like you're like bracing yourself. And you assume the worst. And a lot of times they're just genuinely curious. They're not meaning to be a jerk.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's a good point. That's a really good point, that especially when I was new, I know that I just assumed people were attacking me. And then I would like kind of brace myself for it. But really, they were just genuinely curious. And they meant no ill.
Yeah.
So you do have to kind of give benefit of the doubt. And of course, the time that you do really all kindly give them the benefit of the doubt and you're optimistic, that's when they're the jerk again, all without fail.
But at least you were on your best behavior.
But yeah, at least you, yeah. And sometimes it's like, oh, I hope that even though you're attacking me right now, everyone around sees that I'm being the nice person here.
I know early on too, when we first started it, we had the kids doing it, and I was like, I wouldn't let them have dairy milk anywhere we went. It was like, no, we're eating right, and you're not going to put that junk in your bodies anymore. And they're my stepkids, and my boyfriend was, you know, very supportive. So that was nice. But we were at my mom's house, and my daughter, they offered her, my sister and my mom offered her milk. And I was like, no, no milk, no milk. And they're like, why can't she have milk?
And then I was like, it's not good, and da da da. And my sister was like, well, where is she going to get her calcium? And I was like, oh, great. Here we go. And I wasn't even expecting that. And I didn't explain myself well at all. And it ended up being kind of a rift between us for a long time before I went back and apologized to her for being a jerk.
What was good? You did that.
But yeah, it's.
And I think that's a good point. That brings up something that I think a lot of people aren't prepared for, is that you become this thing where everyone wants to, like, pick you apart and ask you a million questions, which can be really uncomfortable, especially early on. And if you don't have your, like, kind of good answers, you don't maybe have the right answer or enough information because you're still learning yourself, then you can't answer the question the way you would feel comfortable. And so that's definitely something I think a lot of people struggle with early. And even, I mean, I've been plant-based since 2006, so almost 10 years now. And this is what I do for a living. I talk about it all day long to people. I'm supposed to be an expert in the field. And even I get tired of being asked questions by my friends and family. Like, it's amazing. I'm fine with, like, members and fans. But, like, when my friends or their friends of friends start drilling into me, I'm just like, oh, my God, I don't know what it is about calcium. And this is my job. So it's like, I can see how someone who just switched and their mom's like, why can't you have milk? Where do you get your calcium? Could just be like, no, not now.
I took stuff from websites and things and books that I had, and I literally copied them into my phone. So if she ever asked me that again, I could just read it to her.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll get all really good idea. And I won't remember, and I won't, you know. So I'm prepared for next time, whenever.
I'm good, I'm ready.
Opportunity.
When the opportunity presents itself, I will be there to seize it.
Totally.
So one thing that you talked about before that I want to kind of circle back to was like feelings of deprivation. Which I think a lot of people do, because, you know, if you spent your whole life eating meat and potatoes and you suddenly take away the meat, you just kind of look at the potatoes and are like, hmm. But, you know, we talked about shifting your focus. And one thing I love to tell members to do when they're feeling really limited and deprived is to stop focusing on all the things you're choosing to give up. First of all, never say, I can't have it, because you can. You're choosing not to. And that's so much more powerful mindset. But I'm like, just get out a pencil and paper and write down everything you can eat. And of course, they tire of this exercise before they even get through fruits. They're only like through a third of the beans. And they're like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I get your point. But you still can feel really deprived, especially like you said, when you're in these social situations and people are eating things that you once loved. So what are some of the deprivation things you went through? How did you cope with them? How do you cope with them now?
I don't feel deprived so much anymore, much less. But in the beginning, I just felt my feelings. Honestly, I'm a big feelings person. I cry a lot.
Oh, I'm really sensitive too. I hear you.
And I think it's really important to express our emotions, not let them control us, but definitely let them out and express them. And I would literally break down and cry and or throw temper tantrums for like a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And like get the feelings out of like not getting to have, you know, what I told myself I wanted. I just started switching my language from I can't to I don't want it, or, you know, it's not what I want. No more I can't.
I love that.
That's very new for me to actually put into practice. So that is actually a really good one, is to really think, you know, like, I don't want this. I can have this. I used that in the beginning too. I'm choosing not to have this. This is my choice. Or in the cases that I did choose to have something I didn't want, really, like, I'm choosing to have this thing that I don't really want, that I know is not good for me. And that was really... it was really helpful at times, but it was, the feelings of deprivation were so strong that sometimes I gave in and ate the stuff that I didn't really want to be eating, but did, you know, that my brain wanted, but my body didn't.
Yeah.
that separation is good too, is going, well, my brain wants this and my habit wants this and my heart doesn't want this, and, you know, really making that choice. Because obviously, if you've been eating a sad diet your whole life and you decide you're going to go plant-based, like, that's what you really want.
Right.
Like, you're not going to just do that if you don't want to. What you really want is to eat plant-based. Or at least that's, you know, was true for me.
And that's one of the things I tell people, is it is hard. And I think that when people have been plant-based or vegan for a really long time, they forget how hard it was in the beginning because it's so easy for them now. And we tend to, like, kind of have a real rosy 2020 hindsight. We don't really remember the not-so-pretty parts. And but it is really hard to just do a complete 180 with your life, which is why I'm always telling people progress, not perfection, because it's, you can't try to hold yourself up against someone else's standards of perfection or even your own, because it's, we always want so much better for ourselves than maybe we're not capable of right in every minute of every moment. But it is, it's a huge change, and you're raging against a lifetime of habits. You're raging against everything around you, pressuring you to do otherwise. And a lot of us also face, like, actual peer pressure from family or friends. Did you ever have anything like that happen other than the camping thing?
You know, I've been really lucky in that realm that my family has been, like, super supportive, and they're always like, okay, well, what are you going to eat? And I'm like, I'll just bring my own thing, and they're cool. That's what I do at my mom's house a lot. Is just bring my own stuff. And then my boyfriend's parent, they're always, you know, trying to make something for me with their meal. They'll leave the butter out of things so that I can eat it, you know, and just put it on their own or whatever. So I've been really lucky.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Really lucky. I read all the stories of people struggling with their families and their friends and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's really hard to read how unsupportive people can be. But at the same time, I understand it from a psychological perspective, is we have this need as humans to try to, like, conform people, like, to just not rock the boat. And so they're trying to stop you from rocking the boat. And sometimes they don't even do it from, like, a place of hate. It seems like they're being so mean, but they're just kind of responding back to, like, all these, like, societal cues. And I'm getting really deep into psychology now, but I do think it's important for people to know that sometimes when they're doing it, it's for their own self-preservation, and it's not really about you, it's really about them, but they don't know it's about them. So
yeah, I remember we just went camping recently, and there were some people up there we met for the first time, and this woman was talking about ice cream, and how, you know, I forget what she was saying about it, but I brought up vegan ice cream, and she goes, oh yeah, but then it's got, you know, all these chemicals and all this stuff in it. And I said, actually, I go, there's the one that I eat doesn't have that much junk in it. There's like 4 ingredients. And she's like, well, what are they? I'm like, that's scary. It put me on the spot. And I named off a few. I'm like, I think it's like coconut milk and sugar and, you know, vanilla and guar gum or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know for sure. I go, and it's not healthy. I go, but it, you know, but it is pretty simple ingredients, and there's not a bunch of weird chemicals in it.
Yeah.
And she was just kind of, you know, like, whatever.
I had a story like that once too, where someone was saying, it was about ice cream, and I said something like, oh, well, there's, you know, vegan ice cream and soy ice cream. And they're like, oh, but soy will make you have big boobs. And it took like everything I had not to look down and be like, well, if soy gives you big boobs, where are mine?
Yeah.
Instead, I was just like, well, then why do Asian people? Just like, it was so awkward, but it was so funny. And then, like, later that night, she was like, gosh, why does eating ice cream make you feel so good? And my husband answered her question, and he was like, well, sugar does this. And he, like, gave her this very, like, biochemical explanation. She did not want that. And he was like, why do people ask questions they don't want answers to? And I'm like, I have no idea. What she really just wanted was us to, like, kind of, like, reinforce, yeah, it does, it's so good, yum, you know, but that's not what happened.
Yeah.
We rocked the boat instead.
I wish I could respond like that. I always try and I always respond to things like that, you know, with, yeah, it is totally good, like you just said. And, you know, trying to be like, yeah, I'm plant-based, but I still am, like, cool with you. I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. I've tried to say that. It never comes out right. They just, like, get more defensive. And I'm like, no, really, I'm trying to defuse.
I totally know what you mean.
So one other thing I wanted to talk about before we have to end our podcast tonight is that withdrawal, which is something that a lot of people experience for a number of reasons. I know you already talked about your cheese struggle, and we know that cheese is physically addicting. And then, of course, sugar is also physically addicting. They're doing some really fascinating studies on sugar now showing it's like up there with heroin, and it creates all these things. It lights up our brain like a Christmas tree when they do scans when we eat sugar, and sometimes even when we see sugar if we've been a past sugar addict. I mean, it's really kind of crazy. So there are, and sugar is, you know, technically a plant food because it comes from a plant, you know, highly processed. Now I'm sort of getting a little too deep. But there are withdrawals when you start eating healthy. Whatever, even a small step, you know, you're like, okay, I'm not going to eat out anymore. I'm only going to eat at home. But there's always, every step of the way, there is some kind of withdrawal. And so what are some of the withdrawals that you've experienced, and how have you dealt with them?
I don't know that I've experienced anything that was really noticeable for me, honestly. I've broken out, which I thought might be a reaction to getting healthy. I've had headaches. I know I've been tired.
And you've had cravings.
But that's it. Oh, well, yeah, definitely cravings and emotions.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, the deprivation is like withdrawal. It's just that feeling of missing out and, you know, not getting to eat what you think you want to eat anymore. I was totally that person that, you know, I can't give up. I remember when all my friends were going vegan way before I went plant-based, and I was like, they're crazy. Insane. Like, I would never give up ice cream. I would never give up brie. Like, no way. And here I am. But many years later.
One of the things I like to say when I'm coaching the members is when they're saying, I can't give up. And I'm like, let's do the asparagus test. And they're like, huh? I'm like, if I tell you, you can't ever have asparagus ever again, you'll, if you don't like asparagus, you'll be like, I love you. But most people are kind of whatever with asparagus. So when I say you can never have asparagus again, they're kind of like, eh, okay, whatever, sure. But when I tell them that they can never again have this thing, say it's a Snickers bar or brie, and they immediately are like, what? Never again the rest of my life. And I'm like, that's how you know you need to not eat it. Because you don't feel that way about asparagus.
Yeah.
So I think,
you know, my emotional side of my withdrawals was really strong and heavy, you know, where I would be super depressed, you know, that I wasn't eating the things that I thought I wanted to eat anymore. And, you know, I wouldn't want to go places or do anything. I was grumpy. I was irritable. But then, you know, as time passes and you have success and stuff, then you start to feel good about that. Or I started to feel good about that. And I, you know, wanted to go out. And I wanted people to see me eating weird things and ask me about it. And I wanted to go have those experiences. So.
Right. And I think it's important to know that all change is grief. And even when it's a change that's for the good, like a positive change, like you're doing something to get healthy, to lose weight, it's like, or it's this change you want to do. It's good for you. But all change is grief. And there are 5 stages of grief. And I think that you have to go through them. And I think that a lot of the things you've been describing are very much those 5 stages of grief. You know, there's the denial. A lot of people tell themselves, maybe once in a while, or, you know, it can't be that bad. Or like you said, you hear so much contradictory information that you're like, well, maybe. And then a lot of times people get angry either that, you know, there's the misinformation that they've been told the wrong thing in school, or even just like anger, like, why didn't I know about this? Or even just anger, I can't have it. That thing's not healthy, but I love it, you know? And then a lot of times people bargain. Oh, okay, well, I'll only have, you know, birthday cake on birthdays. And then there's depression, which is a lot like you were saying, where you were just having this deprivation. It made you so depressed. But then eventually you get to acceptance, which it sounds like you're there.
Yeah, finally, like 3 years, 2.5 years later.
Which is, like, yeah, it's important. It takes a long time. It's not something that necessarily happens overnight. And as you said, you know, you were perfect. You did so beautifully for 6 months. And then one little meal made you just kind of fall down the hole for the rest of the year.
Yeah, totally. And while you were just talking too, I was thinking about in the beginning how, you know, one of the things that we struggled with, Mike and I, was we were telling ourselves, well, is this really true? Like, it's got to be true. Like, why would they be lying to us? They're not, like, making money off of this. Like, mm-hmm. They're not, you know, and, like, nobody's making, like, tons of money off this and getting rich. And so why would they be telling us? Why would these doctors be telling us these things, you know? And just, like, do we believe this? And why haven't we heard this before? And it goes against everything we've learned. And that's what really made me feel like, oh, everyone's going to think I'm insane in the beginning.
Like, mm-hmm. And that sounds so much like the stages. And I felt those way too. I did too. I was like, this can't be true. And I had this one member who, she's such an amazing woman. I need to get her on the podcast. But she had type 2 diabetes for a really long time. And for years and years and years, all the doctors told her low carb, low carb, low carb. And she was just getting worse and worse and worse, and she was going to lose her leg. And she also was at the risk for going blind, which as you may or may not know, these are complications for diabetes. But finally, a friend of hers is like, I read this book called Prevent Reverse Diabetes by this Dr. Neil Bernard or something or other. And anyway, you should read it. And basically says you can go plant-based and reverse diabetes. And she, to her credit, read the book and then was like, why would all these doctors all my life be telling me different? Like, what do you mean that I don't need to fear carbs? No, this can't be true. Like, and it was really fascinating to see it. She did subsequently go plant-based and lost over 100 pounds and no longer is diabetic. But she was like, why would all these doctors lie to me my whole life? And she's like, what is it? And she's like, well, there's nothing in it for these people telling me to eat spinach. They don't have financial ties to the spinach industry.
Right. And that I want to, like, give my mom that book or something and be like, read this. And then I'm afraid she'll go to her doctor and her doctor will be like, that's a load of crap, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's a frustrating thing. When my dad was in the hospital having had a heart attack, that day they gave him bacon. And when he said, you know, I don't know much, but I don't think I should have bacon, they're like, it's okay, it's turkey bacon. And I was like, we need to get him to a new hospital with a new doctor.
Yeah, the food in hospitals, especially, I mean, it's one thing. There was a post about it on the forum today or yesterday. One thing in the cafeteria is terrible, but what they feed the people that are sick or healing in the hospital is, like, insane.
I saw that, too, in the forums and was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Even in the, like, even, like, just in terms of, like, what I used to think was healthy food for, like, an omnivore, you know, like, they're not even giving them, like, baked chicken with steamed green beans and, like, it's, like, fried chicken and mashed potatoes and junk.
Yeah, with, like, a big pat of butter. Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. I was the same as you. Is like, even for, like an omnivore or something healthy, I would think, like, you know, baked chicken, boiled chicken, fish or something, and some steamed vegetables and a salad, and none of those things were present.
Yeah, it's crazy. When my daughter was in, too, they were just, it was like, do you want French toast or waffles, honey, and bacon? And I'm like, really? Seriously, you're going to feed my kid a bunch of sugar in the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so other than telling someone to just stick with it and keep making progress, because you're a great testament that, you know, just to stay with it, keep starting over as many times as you need, what advice would you have for someone who's super new, struggling real bad, feeling deprived?
Feel the feelings. Definitely find support. I mean, if you don't have it in your immediate family or something, use the forums, use the herbies.
Yeah. The herbies are great.
I'm sure I benefited greatly, very greatly from having my boyfriend on board with me and supportive even when he's not doing it. And love yourself. Just love yourself through it and just keep reminding yourself this is what you want. And it sounds a lot like stick with it. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
it's so hard because what else is there to say? I don't know. Just reach out and use tools and get support, and you don't have to do it alone.
Exactly. Totally. I love that. No, and I think you really made a point. It's loving yourself, reminding yourself why you're doing it. That saying, keep your eye on the prize, is very true for everything in life, any goal you have, but definitely reminding yourself that this is what you want. This is what you chose, and keep choosing it.
And if meat replacements and stuff, help you, then do it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're very helpful for a lot of people during transition. My husband struggled so hard with cheese. He couldn't do it. He kept slipping up. He was very frustrated. And then I got him, he's like, life without pizza is no life at all. And so then I got him some fake cheese. And the first couple of times he was kind of like, it's not the same. But by like the fifth or sixth time, he was like, this stuff is great. But now several years later, he hardly ever eats it. But it was the ticket for him. It was the training wheels he needed.
Yeah, I think it can be really helpful. You don't have to go all or nothing. That's not the only way to do it. What drew me, this is actually helpful, to Happy Herbivore, was I was utilizing other sites and stuff that are all great, but there was a coach that said something to me about how easy it was, and I just gave it all up, and it was like, no problem. And I was just like, what? You are insane. And I felt so alone, and I felt like, oh, I'm not doing it right, and I suck at this, and had all those ideas and found. And then I had heard people on that site talking about Happy Herbivore and stuff, and I went and checked out your site and then found the Facebook pages and all that stuff, and just being around people that were like positive and not all saying, oh, it's so easy and you just have to give it up, like move, just do it already, was really helpful, because I felt like I was getting a lot, just do it, it's so easy. Like, I was like, no, it's not. It's really hard.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That was a very helpful insight. And I think that's what I feel about those magazines, because they're like, it's so easy. You just do this. You just work out 5 hours a day. And I'm like, Eddie, I can't do it.
Totally.
But yeah, we're very progress, not perfection, for sure. And that's the whole spirit of Meal Mentor and Happy Herbivore, is progress, not perfection. And just doing the best you can. And it's not easy, but it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely worth it. Even if it takes 3, 5, 10 years.
Oh yeah, and we had one previous episode. I'm blanking on which one. I think she was a 10-year progress, but it was a true testament that slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, I really admire that, and at the same time, hope that that's not me.
Right?
I really want to get there. It's so bad. I just want to be plant based really well.
And you've been doing well. You're what, 2 weeks? You're 2 weeks now.
Yeah, I'm like two and a half, almost three.
Wednesday, hey, that's
three.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Before you know it, it'll be a month. So,
yeah.
Well, keep up the great work. I know you're doing awesome. And if you want to learn more, you can visit getmealplans.com, and you can talk to both me and Mandy in the forums. We're both very active, especially Mandy, and she's just such a light. And I'm so glad she agreed to come on and share these early struggles. And I hope that it gave everyone who's listening a little bit of peace to know they're not alone. And as she said, find the support online. We're here for you. Thanks for listening.